It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's that time. Time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth. So today we're going to play ball. Now, when I say play ball, it could be maybe hockey, ice skating, running track, doing gymnastics, or any other sport. But if you're LGBTQ, you may be in the space of let's don't ask and don't tell. Now, that might sound kind of weird in this day and age, but it's truly not. While it's not as prevalent as it used to be to hide your truth on the playing fields, the courts, or the rings, it's still an issue for many athletes. And today we're going to explore the wide, wide world of sports, specifically the world of being LGBTQ in the sports arena. And to help me sort this out and to provide some home run scores for coming out in the sport of your choice is a really awesome athlete and highly published journalist who, well, he just happens to be the co-founder of OutSports as well. He's written for Genre Magazine, New York Playboy, MSNBC, CNN, New York Press, Out Magazine, Sports Illustrated, Logo, and the New York Times. And he just happens to be no stranger to commenting and facing the press as he's been on ESPN, Fox Sports Radio, CNN, and MSNBC. And he's even been credited with the breaking news of many athletes coming out of the closet. So today we're going to explore coming out, being gay, and being an athlete with my guest, Sid Ziegler, and he's the forthcoming author of a book called Fair Play, How LGBT Athletes Are Claiming Their Rightful Place in Sports. Welcome to the podcast, Sid.
Well, thank you very much. It's funny you said play ball and then mentioned hockey and track. I don't know if you could say play ball with hockey
exactly.
And track because there's no ball, but I never really thought of that until you said it.
Yeah. So cool. Well, I'm so glad you're here. When you and I had the pre-interview, I'm like, yes, I'm totally stoked about having this guy on because I've only had one other person in the sports arena on the Coming Out Lounge in the 2 or 3 years that we've been doing this. So cool. I'm really looking forward to this, man.
Good. Well, yay sports.
Yay sports. Absolutely. So why don't you give the listeners a little bit of your backstory on why you've stepped in, become this expert, become this voice in the sports arena for LGBTQ athletes coming out?
Well, when Jim Buzinski and I started OutSports.com back in 1999, nobody was talking about this. People in the sports media didn't want to talk about they were just gay issues back then, LGBT issues. Nobody wanted to talk about it. And people in the LGBT media didn't want to talk about sports. And you know, I remember, you know, having to come out as a gay man to my straight friends and then kind of come out as a sports fan and athlete to my new gay friends who immediately labeled me things like butch and straight acting and things like that. But it was always just me. Sports and being gay just always went together for me from day one. But we realized very early on that that wasn't the case for a lot of people. And because no one else was talking about it, we wanted to create a space that started to talk about these issues. And over the years, it's evolved a lot from just kind of being an NFL fan blog to breaking stories about athletes coming out and other athletes experiencing homophobia. So it's really evolved a lot since the first days when really we were just talking about Peyton Manning's butt.
Exactly. And you know, I love it because I've spent quite a bit of time on outsports.com over the past couple of months just because it's intriguing me how much more there's conversations going on in the sports world, but yet mainstream media isn't really talking about this. I mean, yes, we've got like the NCAA just recently saying, okay, we're not going to play along with North Carolina's stuff on, you know, transgenders and all this sort of stuff. But you do get athletes coming out, but for some reason it seems to be it's still kind of hidden. Now, is that just my assumption or is this true, Sid?
In the sports media, I think the sports media is writing about it more and more because they have to.
Right.
Because their hands are being, you know, what's going on, like you said, in North Carolina and Kurt Schilling a couple weeks ago saying some posts, a grotesque post about transgender people.
Right.
I think that their hand is being forced from time to time. And obviously at Outsport, every time we have a story, we really try to get the local media to write about it, or it's a sport-specific story for people who cover the sport to write about it. So it has changed a lot. Like I said, 15 years ago, none of them were right talking about it. So I do think it has changed. People at ESPN, the New York Times, USA Today just had a big story. It was their lead story on the sports section last Wednesday about the intersection of religion and athletics in the NCAA, and the religion and gay athletes in the NCAA, and how religion was really beating down and shaming these athletes, and how they were, some of them were being kicked out of their schools for just for being gay. So I do think that it's being talked about a lot more in the media.
Yeah, I think it's getting there. I know you guys are one of the predominant places that anybody, you know, when I talk to my friends that are like sports heads, I'm like, you know, there is a beautiful website out there called OutSports that really covers a lot of different territory. And what I like about what you guys do is it's not just coming out stories. It's about, you know, integrating, and it's about moving through life and being an out athlete and all the different facets of what goes along with this. So, I mean, kudos to you guys for continuing to do this. One of the things you and I talked about in the pre-show was a lot about, so why is this important and how do we get people really on board with athletes that are coming out? And one of the most profound things that you said was just let people come out. That's the best thing that can happen. So take the listeners through why you feel that way. I get it, but I want to hear it in your own words again because it was so powerful.
Well, we keep hearing from people. I mean, listen, you started this podcast talking about how there's homophobia in sports. And, you know, there's this underlying belief that sports is a homophobic, anti-trans institution. And I just don't think you can say that anymore. I would say we have written about, in 15 years, 500, 600, 700 LGBT athletes and coaches who have come out to their teams. And almost without exception, when they do, their team fully embraces them. The people who said homophobic things in the locker room before they came out apologize. And the only regret the person who came out had was that they didn't do it earlier. So, and this is virtually without exception. I mean, a couple people, yeah, they had one teammate that said something or a coach didn't like it, but it's almost without exception. So why do we continue to put forward this idea that sports is a homophobic institution? Because it's hurting LGBT athletes who, most of them, the vast majority of them, could come out tomorrow and be completely embraced by their teams. But we continue this story of fear in sports about this. It just doesn't belong. So, and I think that the only way to really change the conversation about this is for more people to come out. If every person in sports came out tomorrow, the conversation would be over. But, you know, again, we continue this mantra of fear that I think is hurting the athletes and coaches themselves.
Well, as you're talking through this, Sid, one of the things that I parallel is the same thing that happens in Hollywood. I think it's the same exact thing, is the more we say, oh, there's homophobia, the more there is. And I've been a firm believer in this, that the more we don't talk about it, or the more we perpetuate the stereotype that there's homophobia here and there's homophobia there, the more we kind of feed the fuel for the fire. And to me, it's, let's stop saying there's homophobia. Let's start celebrating where, as you've just said, with the athletes, the majority of them come out and everything's cool. And let's start talking more about that than when somebody comes out and all the backlash of, you know, what's horrible and what's happening. And I think that's where we begin the true healing of the planet and of the community and culture as a whole in the world.
And you know what's so sad to me is I see people working on LGBT issues in sports, like Hudson Taylor from Athlete Ally, continuing to talk about how difficult it is and how homophobic sports are, and how he and Athlete Ally have to go change everything before anybody can come out. It is desperately destructive. Because it's not true. The people who have the power in changing this are not the straight people. It's the LGBT people. Nobody's mind is changed by listening to some straight guy who was a college athlete 5 years ago come and talk to them. The people are changed by their teammates and their friends coming out. And the people who come out, the only way that their perception of sports changes is when they actually see, oh my gosh, my teammates did not fully reject me. I just reject this idea that straight people somehow hold the key or have to pave the way for us. It's not true. There's absolutely no evidence of it whatsoever. And unfortunately, certain nonprofit organizations are trying to raise a lot of money off of this off of this lie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. You know, it's been interesting as I've done my own journey and coming more into my own public light, how, man, most of my straight heterosexual friends and followers, they're the ones that are like celebrating the work that I do.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones that are like really embracing. In fact, I just had a heterosexual mother of three who is a single mom who, she knows me, but we're not like best friends. She just happened to see that my book went on sale and we had some really good, you know, stuff going on with the Kindle version a couple of weeks ago. And so she nabbed it and she sent me an email and then she actually posted on Amazon. She goes, I'm the least likely person to be reading this book about coming out. Yet so much of what Rick talks about is about all of us coming out and being who we are. So sometimes I look at this and go, wait, where's the real problem? Where does the real problem exist? You know, all we have to do is watch the evening news and see where all the weird stuff's going on in, you know, many states right now around LGBT and transgender and everything. But I think if we stepped away from it for a little while and said, wait, let's look at the vast majority. Most people in the heterosexual world are like, okay, so you're gay. Can we move on now? And I don't think sometimes we embrace that that's where the power is we sometimes create our own issues more so than the rest of the world. And I'm just wondering if that's kind of what you're getting at too.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Look, 60% or more of Americans now support same-sex marriage.
Yep.
We're not just talking about seeing a gay athlete or having a gay coworker. They support the right of people to marry now. Mm-hmm. And for over a decade, every single poll that has come out that has tried to measure acceptance of gay athletes has shown that 80% plus of sports fans say that they would welcome a gay athlete on their favorite team. The people who ultimately do experience that, like with the St. Louis Rams and Michael Sam, it's got to be 99%. When I talk to Rams fans, once the Rams drafted him and he was a Ram and they saw it wasn't a big deal, they couldn't have cared less. I went to one of Michael's games and talked to literally dozens of fans. I couldn't find a single one of them who cared. Mm-hmm. So again, once somebody steps into that role, people realize that we aren't walking around with nine arms and horns going out of our heads. We're just regular people.
So I'm curious, because this just happened in the news, even though this podcast is going to air in the beautiful month of June during Pride Month, one of the things that most recently just came up in the news is Hastert's history of abuse as a coach when he was a coach. How do you think those kind of stories are playing out in the general public's perception of what it means to be gay and lesbian, just from your perspective?
I don't think those stories matter much. I think the people who want to dredge them up, dredge them up. And what's interesting about Hastert, of course, is because he's a conservative Republican, they won't use that story against us because they don't want to drag his name in the Republican Party through the mud. When I look at conversations that are going on, I talk about reasonable people. What do reasonable people think? And how do reasonable people react?
Yep.
And no reasonable person would take the story of Dennis Hastert and apply it to me. So, of course, there are people who will do that. You know, you have the Westboro Baptist Church, right?
Sure.
But reasonable people won't do that.
Right. And I think that's a really valid point that you made, that, you know, sometimes we forget that, okay, who are the people and who are the thought processes? You know, what kind of thought processes are we dealing with? And they're not reasonable. They're radical. They're erratic behavior type processes and people. And again, those exist in all kinds of culture, whether you're gay or lesbian, or, you know, you're Hispanic or African American or Asian, or whether you're a woman trying to break through the glass ceiling. There's always going to be erratic behaviors and erratic people that you go, they're just not being reasonable. Bottom line. So I'm curious, you've said it to some degree already during this interview already, but I'm curious, what do you think is the best thing at this point we can actually do to move this movement forward where it's cool, it's safe, it's awesome, it's wonderful for athletes to just be who they are?
Convince people to come out. I know that a lot of these activists and advocacy organizations talk about policy changes and educational materials and sensitivity trainings. And I don't think any of those things hurt.
Right.
But what changes culture is people coming out. That is why homophobia will die in the United States before racism does. Because you get to know people before you get to know their sexual orientation. That doesn't happen with race. So, you know, it's once you walk up to a black person, most of the time you see they're black and you start processing things. When you walk up to a gay person, most of the time you don't know they're gay. And so when you come out, people have already gotten to know you. They already value you as a person. And then what happens is instead of their attitude about you changing, their attitude about gay people in general change. So coming out is by far, there isn't even a second, third, or fourth, by far the most important tool we have. And if non-LGBT people want to help this movement, they should identify LGBT people in sports, reach out to them, help them find a path to coming out in their personal lives and publicly, because that is what moves the needle.
Well, one of the things that I know you and I talked about, too, is I agree 100%. And actually, before I jump into what you and I talked about, I want to bring up this point. It's the same way I feel about the people that I have served the most. I'm not saying who I serve now the most, but who I've served the most have been people who have been in marriages with children who come out. And I have a firm belief that the more those people who finally come out, they just come out. There doesn't have to be anything that happens. They just need to start coming out for the world to see there are so many people hiding in these kind of relationships, and this will move it forward. And I would hope that in some ways, can't heal the world, I know that, but in some ways it will diminish the amount of people who purposefully go into marriages knowing this isn't who I am, but I'm doing what everybody else expects of me. The more people who walk out of those situations, the more this will become, quote, and I hate to use the word normal, but that's kind of what it will be, is it will flatten the playing field, so to speak. It will start to say, oh, this isn't some weird thing that's just happening. And I get that all the time these days, because people are like, really, are we still having this conversation? I'm like, yes, we are still having this conversation, because people don't think they can come out. They think they're going to get beat up if they come out because they've been married. They think they're going to be beat up and ridiculed and lose their contracts and everything if they do this in sports. So I think this is the same exact level playing field we're talking about, is just let people come out and let them feel comfortable coming out.
Well, I would add two things. One, I go beyond that. I don't say just let people come out. I say convince them to. Because again, at OutSports, the one regret that people have is that they didn't do it sooner. And if that's the one regret we hear over and over and over again, why are we not trying to convince more people to do it? If that's what we found makes them happier. But the second thing is, you talk about people who get married. I mean, how heteronormative must our culture be if people say to themselves, yes, I'm gay, but I need to enter into a straight marriage and commit to this person for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. How heteronormative must we be if that's what we deal with?
Crazy.
It's sad. I know people, everybody does, right?
Right.
Yeah, I just had a friend of mine, a long-term friend of mine, sit me down. He's been married for 20 years. He said, I'm gay. I said, you're bi? He said, no, I'm gay. Hmm. And I'm like, how do you get into this marriage? Like, it's fascinating. It's because of the pressures that television and family and work and friends, everybody just put on you, and they don't even realize they're doing it.
Well, they don't. Well, they do and they don't. I mean, it's interesting if we all look at our lives and go, okay, where are the pressures we're under? I think if we stopped and go, okay, who's putting the pressure on me to do this, to do that, to be in this career, to have children, to stay in this relationship? It's insane. I work with clients all the time. In fact, the basis of my work is not LGBT stuff anymore. It's helping people come to their truth of who they want to be and find that quirkiness within themselves and going, I want to own this. I want to own who I am, bottom line, and helping them get to that beyond the shadows of, well, this is what's expected of me. And that's where so many people are really stuck. But something that you said that I think will help those that are listening to this podcast, you said, it's almost 100% of the time that the athlete who comes out wishes they would have done it sooner. Why?
Because one, they realize how much happier they are when they do come out. Mm-hmm. Two, they realize that all the fear that they had, the vast majority of it was just not founded. I just had a transgender volleyball referee come out. She had been out in her sport for a while and just came out publicly. And she said, the real problem was going on between my two ears in my own head. That's where the story was. Because once she came out, USA Volleyball embraced her. Volleyball Canada embraced her. Her fellow officials embraced her. The trans community embraced her. She's like, what was I waiting for? But it's that fear of the unknown, because everybody's, you know, I can tell you that 99% of the time, it's all good. Yeah. People are so afraid of being that 1%, they just literally and figuratively kill themselves over it.
Sure. You're talking about Stephanie Shostak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful story. I read that the other day. But the reason I asked that question, I know you kind of laughed when I asked it, was because I wanted people to hear this. It makes you happier to be yourself, number one. If for no other reason, do it because there's going to be a level of happiness. Even if there's a lot of crap that starts to come your way because you do this, because people may say, oh, you can't be that. Whatever it is, you're going to find your way to happiness if you believe you can find your way to happiness and that you just let happiness show up. Number two, like you said, man, so many of the fears, they're not really there. They are all between our two ears. Most of the time. Yes, there's some stuff that may show up, but for most of the time, and that's why I wanted to like dive in and hear you deliver that message, because I knew it was just so powerful. Those two things alone, for anyone listening, wherever you are in your journey, trust Sid and I, when you do finally make that beautiful, bold move to be yourself and come out, there will be a piece of happiness that shows up immediately, even in saying the words. And secondly, most of the fears that you keep thinking are going to be there will start to drop away and drop away and drop away. And those fears that may show up that somebody doesn't like you, welcome to the family. There are going to be people that don't like you because you're gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. Well, welcome to the family and move on, because there's going to be a whole lot of other people who are going to fully embrace you for who you are. So as these news stories break, Sid, and you see these, you know, all the different things that come out of the sports world, where does the change? Okay, I know the athletes coming out. We've already discussed that. But where does the change start in like the leagues and stuff? Does it need to start with something at the top, or is it just purely the momentum of athletes just coming forward and coaches coming forward? Is there really nothing that we should be trying to do like at the top of those ranks, or just let it be in the players' hands?
The commissioners, and I talk about this at length in my book that's coming out next month, league commissioners and team owners, if they really want to make change, should identify the gay players in their league, sit them down, guarantee them security, and get them to come out and stand right by their side and be there right with them. I remember when Rick Welk, he was the president of the Phoenix Suns, and now he's the COO, I think, and president of the Golden State Warriors. When he came out 5 years ago, he lined up Bill Russell and David Stern. Bill Russell's an NBA legend, and David Stern, who was the then president of the NBA, and Steve Nash, who was a current star, to stand there next to him and say, nope, we're good with this. And that's what these league commissioners and team owners need to do. They're being passive about this, thinking that educational materials and policy is all they can do. The most powerful thing they can do is identify gay people in their leagues, work with them to come out, and guarantee them security. And I know that's guaranteeing people security is tough in pro sports, but you know, Branch Rickey, when he decided to integrate baseball in 1947, he had to do things that he might not have done for other players. 10 years from now, you won't have to do that anymore.
Right.
But you got to go the extra length if you really want to make change. Otherwise, you're just doing it for show.
I'm glad you brought this up, because it kind of goes back to one of the core principles that I know you and I both know through our own journeys, is whether it's coming out or taking a stand for anything, find your peeps that will stand there and support you. And this is like key critical. When somebody's working with me, like, okay, well, what do I need to do? And a beautiful example of this was I had a client just in the last week who came out to his wife and his parents and everyone. But what was so fascinating about this was he went to a brother first, and then he went to another brother and sister with the information. And when he got ready to go to tell his parents, and I'm talking a guy who's, you know, midlife, early 40s, his brother and sister went with him to be there. And this is why it's so important to have that support team around you, as you just described, when you're coming out to get those commissioners and coaches and league, whoever it is, to stand there and show this is cool, we're cool with this, and move it forward. Because then it starts to normalize this thing as this is just somebody being who they are, plain and simple, and not be passive. I loved it that you said don't be passive. We can put all the freaking legislation and all the trainings in front of anybody that we need to. But if that's just kind of like put there and, okay, well, you've done it. You know, for the last 3 hours, you've sat here in this diversity training. This is how you're supposed to do things. that's not necessarily going to be the best use. It's a step in the right direction, but it's also making it be an environment where people feel embraced and really capable of being where they want to be without any fear. And you're right, it's hard to guarantee anything because there's lots of people out there in the world and lots of people on teams. But I think it comes down to working and showing this is the way we are. This is the way we support people in our organization. And this is how we're going to be as a company, as a team, as a brand. Awesome stuff. So let's talk about your book. I want to talk about that before we wind it up today. So it's coming out in June.
Yeah, June 7th. I'll actually be in Copenhagen at the time, but that was the date the publisher decided. And
awesome. So this show will be airing right at that time. So awesome time for you guys to grab hold of Sid's book. And what's the name of the book again, man?
Fair Play. And the subtitle is How LGBT Athletes Are Claiming Their Rightful Place in Sports, I think. And it's, you know, it's funny. When we thought about that subtitle, I really thought about, should it be past tense or present tense? How they did claim the rightful place in sports or how they are. And, you know, I think that we've come so far, but given how many people just are still so stuck in the closet and you know, the NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball and NHL, none of them have an out gay athlete. I don't think you can say past tense yet. So as much as I would like to, it's ongoing.
Well, that'll be the next version of the book. Change the subtitle then.
Exactly.
That's really cool. So I just loved having you here with me today, Sid. And as we wrap up every show, there's always one question, which I think you're probably going to say maybe what you've already said. But if you could give anyone, regardless of whether they're an athlete or not, anyone a piece of advice as they're, you know, going through, attempting to maybe start this journey, or maybe they're right on the verge of stepping out to be themselves, what would be the thing you'd love to leave the listeners with?
For the LGBT athlete, I would say just talk to somebody. You have somebody in your life that you're pretty darn sure is going to be okay with this. And in 2016, if you're pretty darn sure they're going to be okay with it, it would be a shocker if they're not. And I think that for non-LGBT people, posting on social media and conveying in conversations exactly how supportive you will be of LGBT people in your life so that you create a space where they feel even safer coming out. Don't be passive about this. You can be engaged in the process before it even happens by really opening the door.
That's awesome. Awesome advice. Love it, love it, love it. And if you want to check out more what Sid is doing, check him out at outsports.com. We're going to have all the links on the show page to where you can connect with him through various social media. And we'll also have a link over to his book. So make sure you grab hold of that, get it in your hands so you could be supportive of someone, whether it's yourself or someone else. And it doesn't mean you have to necessarily be an athlete. I can't wait to get my hands on the book because I want to read this because I know I will learn things about that world that I probably don't have any clue about. So, well, thanks once again, Sid, for being on the show, man. I really, truly appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you talking sports.
Hey, man, I love talking sports. So, and if you really enjoyed what you heard today, don't forget to go on over to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever it is you're listening to the Coming Out Lounge. We love you and we would love to hear from you. And, you know, the more you rate and review our shows and let other people know about it, the sooner we can start to just rid all this LGBT stuff out of the main media and into the main life of everybody's heart and souls. And while you're at it, if you want to hop onto Facebook, you can catch me at the Coming Out Coach. You can catch Sid at his own page over there. And if you like to tweet, you can tweet about this show at Rick Clemens. That's my handle. And Sid's is at Sid Ziegler, CYDZEIGLER. And as always, we're going to wrap up the show by saying, go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, and enjoy your Pride Month. Take care, everyone. Hey, 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 closet dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners, I wanted to ask you a question. If you could take stress out of your journey, be more content in who you are, and find ways to do some of the most difficult things that you need to do as you come through the closet doors, would you do it? I bet the answer is yes. Why do I know this? Because I have been getting requests from listeners and clients or prospective clients about finding ways to just address certain things in their coming out journey. Some people don't want to work for a long time, and I totally get that. And that's why I've designed some brand new coming out coaching one-on-one sessions. These are very focused, topic-specific sessions. For example, maybe you're looking at coming out midlife and how do you do it? Could be that you're already out, but you're not completely out and you want to talk about how do I do this and come out at work. Could be that you're having trouble even accepting yourself as a gay person. And might there be a possibility that you're really struggling with your sexuality and your religion? Depending on what you're looking for, I've designed 9 powerful, highly focused one-on-one laser coaching sessions that you can choose from. Each session goes for 90 minutes. We stay specifically focused on the topic at hand. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So now that you've heard about this, how would you like to go check them out? Well, here's how you do this. Go to thecomingoutcoach.com. On that page, you can scroll down. You'll see stuff for the book and for some other offerings, but then you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, and it will take you to a page that describes each of the 9 offerings that I have. If you happen to be listening to the podcast right now, just look over to the right-hand side of the show page, and you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions right there. Again, just click on that button and go check out these new offerings. So, what do you think? Isn't it about time that you stepped out, you stepped up, and you stepped into resolving whatever the biggest issue is in your coming out journey? I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and I can't wait to work with you one-on-one.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more, and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.